I appreciate those that play instruments as well. God's given them a great talent, and I thank God for each one of them. I thank God for our piano player. Courtney, I kid around with her. I love her like my own, but she has to do a lot. And amen. Jerry said you'd be all right. But anyway, she has to do a lot. A lot of folks, everybody sings, practice with them, and she has to do a lot of work before she gets here to practice. So I'm glad we have a good piano player. Amen. Amen. And Kevin, if you ever get mad at me and leave, she can't go. Amen. Sorry, that's how it goes. Amen. I'm just joking. We appreciate our church family. Thank God for you all. Love you all. Appreciate you. Actually, I sent Miss Lindsay two sermons. Told her I didn't really know. But I'm glad she's smart. You smart? Go ahead and tell them, yeah. Amen. Yeah, you are. 1 John, please. The first epistle of John. You have the Gospel of John. Then you have the three epistles of John, chapter 3. And I want to begin reading in verse number 16. Y'all breathe, pray. I'm trying to do right and give what God's laid on our heart this hour. 1 John chapter 3. And I will begin reading in verse number 16. And the message has really three thoughts. And talking about true love. The world has a perverted mindset of what love is. Love is just what's appealing to the flesh to some people. But biblical love, the love of God, thank God it's bigger than that. I'm glad He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. And He so loved me. And we'll get to that. But notice in verse number 16 of the epistle of John, 1 John chapter 3, verse number 16. I tell you what, let's back on up to verse 14. The Bible says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's in the Bible, folks. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Now, honestly, folks, that is the direct opposite of how the flesh wants to love. Again, may the Lord add His blessings. Have you heard this saying before? That's the way of the world. You ever heard that? That's the way of the world. I've said that a million times. But it goes with the world's conception or preception of love. Now, the world's love is to put self first, to love self, to provide for self, and to promote self. That's how the world loves. And if that's how you're loving tonight, if your love is based on, well, it's according to what's done for me. It's according to how I'm treated. It's according to what you give to me. It's going to depend on how I love you. That's not the Bible love. That's not God's love. That is the world's love. That is the way of the world. That's how the world loves. Amen. We love. If you love me and you check all the boxes that I desire from you, then I'll love you. That's why love doesn't last in these days. That's why people fall in and fall out of love so easily, because their love is the way of the world love. It's based on what you're giving to them, if they love you or not. It's based on what you provide for them, if they love you or not. It's not based on what God said. What are you doing for me? And of course, the world's mentality is this, what have you done for me lately? It's not what you've done for me in my life to help me. Very little loyalty in the world today. People forget about your loyalty to them, and then they'll quit loving you because you've not done nothing for them lately. And folks, that's the way of the world. That's how the world loves. That's how they perceive it. Of course, the Bible is very clear that the way of the Christian is to be vastly different from the way of the world. We are taught in the Bible that genuine love for the brethren is God's people's calling card. You understand that I dare ask you to find a religion or a cult that would tell you to love your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you, and say all manner of wickedness against you. But now, our calling card is God's people. We are to love our enemies. Love them that despitefully use you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. Hey, the love of God that's set abroad in our hearts, you know what? If your enemy is hungry, you feed them.
That's right.
Amen. God's love is like this. If a brother trespasses against you and he repent, you forgive him. That means you let him out the say. He's not talking about our kind of forgiveness. Well, I'll let you slide for a while, but I'll keep bringing it up every time I want to. No, that's not what he's talking about. And Peter said, Lord, here's the flesh talking. Peter, if my brother's trespassed against me 6 times, 7 times, can I go ahead and blow him out? Not done forgive him 6 times. That 7th time, Lord, that's all I... Hey, surely I'm blowing out. That's the way of the world. I'm done with you. Hey, the Bible, the Lord said, if 70 times 7.
Right.
In a day.
That's right.
In a day, not a year.
A
not a week, not 3 months. In one day. Now, please, somebody, I want to meet you. Do you know anybody that's biblically done you wrong 490 times in one day? Nobody. Nobody. Nobody's been done bad, wrong, half of that by one person in one day. One day. 490 times in one. 70 times 7. Did I get that math right? Y'all look at me like, that ain't really what that means. Yeah, 490 times a day. Hey, some preachers need to get a hold of that.
That's right.
There's church people need to get a hold of that.
That's right.
Walk around and hate one another for years, and ain't nobody has ever done me wrong 490 times in one day.
Right.
I dare say there's not been one person to do me wrong 490 times in my life. In my whole life, I can't say Thomas has done me wrong 490 times in my 55 years. Never happened.
Right.
Now, every time I preach like this, somebody has a scapegoat. There is none. Now, I'm not telling you I've arrived. I'm not telling you I'm. If you look up forgiveness and love in a dictionary, you'll see me going. I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you what the Bible says, and that's what we ought to be striving for. I have no desire. I love you, and I have no desire to hold a grudge against you. Some people are different. Some people are very quick to forgive. And I'm not tooting my whistle because something could happen tomorrow, and I'll be in a mess. So I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I'm easily to forgive you. Because I realize how many times that I've needed to be forgiven. Not just by the Lord, but by others in my life. I'm easy to forgive and forget because I realize, but for the grace of God, that whole thing could be reversed. See, whatever anybody, and I don't know why I'm preaching on forgiveness, I'm thinking about love. But whatever anybody's done to you, you got to remember this. It very well could have been the other way around. It could have been you doing them wrong. You're not that spiritual.
Right.
You're not as arrived and polished and shined spiritually as we want to think we are. Peter thought that. He thought it so strongly, he vocalized it. All shall be offended, yet will not I. And the Lord said, man, I've been praying for you. Satan desired to have you to sift you as wheat. He said, but when thou art converted, you know what he said? Not when you get saved. He said, but when you get back where you need to be with God, he'd go, what you fixing to do? You fixing to eat your words. Everybody else will deny you, Lord. These other boys just sketchy. Now, they all at Gethsemane ran, but the others had enough sense to keep their mouth shut about it. Sometimes, y'all heard this saying, and I've been guilty of it. Sometimes it's better to keep your mouth closed and be thought an ignorant man. But when you open your mouth, you remove all doubt sometimes. I've been there. You ever get home or get thinking about yourself, you go, man, I was dumb. I shouldn't have said that. And I've had to immediately go back when as soon as the Spirit of God calls me down and begins to reveal truth to me, I have to get right back. Whoa, I shouldn't have said that. I should not have done that. You see, if our love is right, then our forgiveness will be right every time. Every time. If our love is right, our forgiveness will be right. Now, I know no other married couple here ever has a spat with their spouse. Just me and Kim do that. And we're coming up on 34 years of marriage, and she's never been wrong yet. How you know? I'm always the one apologizing. It's easier that way. Man, y'all learned something from me. But you know what? When we get it worked out, we don't bring it back up.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
Right.
And if a woman cannot bring something back up, she's filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know who's backing me over there, but thank you, Brother Carl. I'm just going on with you. But love, if love is right, forgiveness will be easy. You understand when we disobey God, whether it's a sin of omission or commission, whether it's something we've left out or something we've added to that shouldn't have been added to in our life, and we go to God and confess 1 John 1:9, He is faithful. That's every time. And I promise you, we have failed Him, if you're my age or close, more than 490 times in a life. I may do that in a month. I hope I don't, but I mean, a lot. Because we think about, well, I didn't do this, that, and the other. There's more sins than this, that, and the other. Come on. Amen. And every time He's faithful, He's faithful, He's faithful, He's faithful, He's faithful. Why is that? How can He do that? Love.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
He desires a relationship. Hey, I don't know why He desires a relationship with us, but He does. God has chosen that. God's ordained that. And He loves us unconditionally. And He's always quick. Even though He has to chasten us, He does it with love. He does it with mercy. He does it with patience. Amen. So we see that love is God's people's calling card.
Amen.
It is. Now, I want to read a verse. I think I have it marked here in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, chapter number 13. Again, you know all these verses. You understand all these verses. But it's good to read them sometime. The Gospel of John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Get that. The world's going to know you're a Christian not by how many verses you know. Now hang on, folks. Nobody believes in dressing modest more than me, but it's not, you ain't going to be known as a disciple by this or that. It's not in the verse, but now it's in verses. The Bible teaches us that. But the main thing, and this is not a compromise, this is what Jesus said. But this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. You understand, you can have the high standards of every Christian here, but you can still love. Is everybody all right? Did I say something wrong? You can have the high standards in the world, and you can still love people. It just, in my realm of people being around in early ministry and on, it seemed like the one that walked the most separated was the most hateful. They had a chip on their shoulder. They were very pious people. Always looking to pounce on somebody that didn't meet their standard. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to live a Christian life, they're going to be people have higher standards than you. They're going to people have the same standards than you. Some are going to have the lower standards than you. But the main thing is, are we trying to do like, are we trying to be like Jesus? Are we pressing toward the mark? Not everybody's on your level. Some people's above your level and mine. We get taught certain things. There's some stuff I can tell you, but time will not permit it. But some of the meanest people I've ever met is Christians that love their standard more than they love the Savior. They worship their standard. They don't worship Christ. They have not the love of Christ in them. And I'm not jumping on people and calling people Pharisees that have a higher standard than me. That's not right either. But it's how they act with that standard. It's my problem. And the Lord said that, hey, this world will know where he is by how we love one another. Very good. Very good. That's very straight. And I could read more. Matter of fact, I believe I will just a little bit here. Y'all bear with me. I don't have a lot of these marked, but I wasn't planning on reading some of it. In the book of Matthew chapter number 22. I've not got off the introduction yet. Matthew chapter number 22, verse 37 through 40. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Remember, I think I mentioned this Wednesday night? The law of God talks about Moses, the Mosaic law. The law of Christ, he's talking about the law of love. In other words, in the Old Testament economy, we done all these things that God required out of just fear. Now we do it out of love. We do what we do now, not out of, and I know we should fear God and he chastens his people, but that's not why. It's love. The two greatest commandments ever penned is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor, that's everybody, as your own self. You know why people can't forgive? It's because they do not love their neighbor as their self, because all of us want to be forgiven. All of us want forgiveness. No, I don't want forgiveness. Quit lying. All of us want mercy. All of us want forgiveness. All of us seek that. All of us seeks acceptance. And the only way we're going to get much of that is to give it. You want love? Love. You want mercy? Be merciful. Amen. Well, preacher, you just don't know. I don't have to know. I got the Bible. I'm not saying I've arrived in it, but it might be time to let somebody off the hook. Yeah. I don't know why I keep camping out on this. It might be time, hey, might be time to let it go. Reminds me of Acts 27 when that storm of Yorakalondon, that tempest, that big storm. Don't nobody turn over there and read that. Trust me, I'm near it. Yorakalondon. Getting a storm like it, it'll rock your don, your head, amen. But you remember, Paul strove and he tried and he talked and he didn't, nobody listened to him. And the Bible said they let her drive. This is just a little illustration. What does that mean? He just finally, they just let it go. Put it in the Lord's hands, the ship. I'm giving you a physical illustration for a spiritual lesson. They fought and they fought and they fussed and they fought and they fussed. Finally, they tried this, tried that. And they finally, hey, sometimes just let it go. Quit fighting a battle that's not yours to fight. And let somebody off the hook. Huh? Folks, do you like being let off the hook? I mean, this is a silly illustration, but me and Taylor and Tripp was in Lake Bourne Fish Camp Friday night, eating. It don't hurt to have a relative that runs the joint. And we was talking to Evelyn, we was sitting there fellowshipping with her, and went on and, you know, they bring you food, they lay your bill there. I wouldn't have a problem with the bill. It was there. And then the waitress come over there and said, that's took care of. That's such freedom. That feels so good. You walk out there and say, I know people. Walk right by the cash register. That ain't what I done. I walked by the cash register. I said, thank you, Evelyn. I love you. Kept going. Everybody else like one. I had a bill that I owed. I ordered it. I ate it. And I was responsible. But somebody come and let me off the hook. You know how wonderful that feels? And I don't know how that made Evelyn feel, but she was smiling when we left. Yeah, she got plenty of money, don't she? Don't y'all roll this back for her. She won't give me nothing else for free. But folks, you understand what God will do for your heart if you just love them and let it go? I have no clue, Brother Jonathan, why I'm preaching that. But just let somebody, just set them free. Well, what if they do it again? You understand the love of Christ? The love of Christ. Jesus loved me even though there was a possibility I'd reject his love. I mean, I know he's God. He knows all things. You know, he's sovereign. But do you understand to love like Christ is to take the risk of, you know what? They may do this again. They might hurt my feelings again. They might cause me problems again, but every time the Lord lets us off the hook. And it all has to do with love. Now again, I understand that I'm preaching this and I need it. I should put a big full view mirror in the middle of the aisle and make sure I'm watching me. Again, I'm not standing here tonight acting like, boy, I've got this all figured out, and I'm the best of the best of loving and forgiving. That's exactly what I'm not preaching. But I am preaching what the Bible says, and that's where I want to be. Amen. And folks, I challenge me and you to put the Bible to the test. Amen. Put it to the test. Life's too short.
That's right.
Our family has seen that a month ago, how short life is. And your family has seen it, how short life is. I don't want to, if God calls me home tomorrow, life's too short to be living a life holding on to things that don't equal to love. Brotherly love, three things and I'm through. In the text, brotherly love is extensive. The word extensive means far-reaching, broad in scope, having a wide range. Notice verse number 16. Hereby perceive with the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, I mentioned the way of the world a while ago, and one of the greatest examples in the Scripture goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 4, and Cain is a perfect example of self-love. Cain is a perfect example of self-love. He's not the standard. He's the way of the world. But now we have how extensive, and y'all believe this is the Word? Hereby we perceive. How can we perceive true love? By thinking about how God loved. Hereby perceive with the love of God, because He, Christ, laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Christ laid down His life for us. We're rotten to the core. Sinners by birth and choice, wicked, vile. He laid down His life for us. That's extensive. Extensive. Then He makes a statement. We're to lay down our lives for the brethren. Folks, as a husband and as a dad, as a granddad, I can stand up here and tell you that I have no problem laying down my life for my family. Giving it everything I got. Turning my life over for them. Well, the Lord said the brethren, because we have a bond, a family bond, stronger than a bond that we have with our family, our natural family. It's a spiritual bond, the blood of Christ. See, I'm related to a lot of folks in here by blood. And that's strong. But the blood of Christ is stronger. So why in the world would I continue to hold a grudge or not speak or be mad at when I'm told that I'm supposed to have a mindset and a heart of love to the extent that I laid my life down for you. Whew. Notice verse 17. Give me these three quickly. Brotherly love is extensive. Brotherly love is expensive. Not only extensive, it's expensive. Now, I was going to take time, but I really don't feel led to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the first eight verses. Charity, love. It tells you what charity don't do. It tells you what charity does, what love does. The Bible says we can have all knowledge, we can have all power, we can have all ability. If we have not charity, we'll sound in brass and a tinkling cymbal. Then it said, charity suffereth long. Charity doesn't vaunt itself. Charity tells us. You know, that's a checklist for me and you if we're truly loving right. Read that when you get home. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the first eight verses. Look at verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now we got to add scripture for scripture. A man that won't provide for his own when he is able, it's worse than an infidel. But the verse isn't talking about given to the freeloader. He's talking about if he says, but whosoever see this has this world's good and see his brother have N-E-E-D, need. Church, I hadn't thanked you enough how you've rallied around Thomas and how you have been so good to him, generous to him. It's just blowed us away. Thank you. Thank you. But the Bible says if we have, and then we see a need, a true need, and we shutteth up our bowels of compassion. In other words, we have no feelings for them at all. It don't bother us at all. Folks, there's folks in here, young people in here, I'm concerned. Make sure you have what you need. I want to make sure, because I know sometimes it's hard. And how can we have the enablement to be a help and a blessing to someone that's in need, real need, and then have no feelings toward that? We don't care. How does the love of Christ dwell in us? Very simple preaching, but very hard living. How do we do that? Brother love is extensive. It's expensive. But brother love is expressive. Look at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let me dissect that verse in a nutshell. Love not only talks, it acts. For God so loved the world. What if that verse would have stopped there? All he said was he loved us. Now love talked, now love acts, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So love is more than just talk, it acts. To speak or to show. Speak and to show. Amen. Real love might be manifested by meeting a material need. It might be manifested by lending a helping hand or a listening ear. It does more than say, I love you. It shows you. Folks, aren't you thankful that all through the Scriptures, the Bible says God is love, God loves you. All through the Scriptures, we're reading about the Lord telling us He loves us, but it's even better when we see that in action. Those promises, I'll never leave thee, never say, I'll supply all you need according to my riches and glory. All these things that He shows us. But God commendeth His love toward us, Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Love is expressive. It's one thing to say, brother, I love you, and then he need help doing something. Oh, I'll tell you. He have a true need. Don't bother me a bit. I don't have that need. I got that. Do I understand? Do you understand that the Lord that giveth is also the Lord that taketh away? Are you listening to me? The same Lord that giveth is the same Lord that... The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look what all he gave Job. And then he allowed Satan to take it. Be careful when you shut up your bowels of compassion and don't love. And not only is it expensive, it's expressive, because that could be you.
Amen.
The next time. I had a county policeman tell me a few years back, I was going home, and you know, you take your foot off the gas of a Ford, and it just keeps pushing, keeps going. I can't remember who said it. It was James Plummer or somebody said, I've had a Ford blow up on me, still get me home. That was a stretch. That was a lie. But he was sitting back off the road, and I went by him. I said, well, I've got God. You know how that feels. I don't laugh at anybody that I go by that's been stopped for speeding. I pray for them. I honestly do. I pray, Lord, please help them. I used to snigger about it. You get stopped a few times, them sniggering's over. That's the most embarrassing thing you'll ever go through. You pulled over and half the church go by. But he told me this. Because I saw him one day. I said, boy, you showed me some mercy. He said, look, there's two people I don't ever pull over, and that's preachers and doctors. I may need both one of these days. I said, that works for me. Apparently, all don't feel that way. You got to remember, when we shut up our bowels of compassion and love, we may need that same compassion and that same, it could be us next. Folks, everything you've gone through, it was just our turn. Everybody gets a turn if you live long enough. Everybody. Lord, help us to love right. Let's all stand. Come on, Miss Courtney. Heads are bowed.